The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder if holidays such as Christmas and Thanksgiving should be handled in a less offensive way. After all, not everybody believes in God, and not everybody who believes in God believes in the God of the Bible, the way he's portrayed there. Well, my friend, you have come to the right place. Every year about this time, we offer an annual public service on the Bob Siegel Show. A lesson for your children, a happy lesson, a cheerful lesson, and of course, a politically correct lesson. Yes, it's time once again for How to Have a Politically Correct Thanksgiving, and here to tell you all about it is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey kids, Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and even though the actual holiday is Thursday, we're going to give you Friday off too. When you add in Saturday and Sunday, it will seem like a four-day holiday. But you would have gotten Saturday and Sunday off anyway, so it's really a two-day holiday made out of a one-day holiday. Isn't Thanksgiving fun? Thanksgiving is a different kind of holiday than Christmas. We don't use the word Christmas anymore because the word offends the five people in our country who don't celebrate Christmas. Not so with Thanksgiving. Because no matter what people believe, everybody still loves to eat. So have a great time with your parents around the big dinner table, stuffing your little faces with turkey, pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce, and candied yams. And unlike Christmas, you can even say Happy Thanksgiving to every one of your little playmates. But be careful and make sure you don't tell them who we are being thankful to. Because if you did that, you might have to explain that the first Thanksgiving was made up of pilgrims who were thankful to God. And we don't talk about God anymore because talking about God makes people upset. And it makes them afraid that those who don't believe in God will be arrested and put in jail. That would never happen. But people are still afraid it will happen. And, well, you don't want people to be afraid, do you? Of course not. So don't talk about God unless you want to call him Allah. Then it is okay because people don't worry about being arrested in America for not believing in Allah. They just worry about being arrested in all the other countries if they don't believe in Allah. Now I know what some of you are thinking. What if someone asks me what the first Thanksgiving was all about? How can I explain that without mentioning God? Silly. There are all kinds of things to mention about the first Thanksgiving. You can mention the Mayflower. You can mention the pilgrims, so long as you leave out the part about them coming to America for religious freedom. Because mentioning religious freedom means we will lose our religious freedom. But there's plenty more to talk about. Talk about how wild the original turkeys were. And talk about the Indians who were friendly to the pilgrims. Calling the Indians friendly is always a smart and sensitive thing to do. Only don't use the word Indian. Use the word Native American. Then people will smile at you instead of accusing you of hate speech. Oh, one more thing. If people ask you why Thanksgiving is a holiday, be sure not to tell them that holiday means holy day. Otherwise, you'll have to explain what's holy about it, and we'll be right back where we started. Well, now that you're up to speed on your etiquette and courtesy, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. To respond to anything you hear on this program, be it religious, be it political, you can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net. That's questions at bobsiegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.net. Regarding my comments on last week's show about Arthur Miller's brilliant play, The Crucible, how appropriate it is for our times with all the politically correct public figures seeking to label anyone who disagrees with them. Teddy says it gets old real fast, too. So weary of the intolerance and bigotry coming from them. The very thing they claim others are doing, it's the pot calling the kettle black syndrome. Now, Ken says McCarthy may have been a little extreme. The trouble is, he wasn't wrong. Tim says, Bob, you point out a very real comparison between the McCarthy far right wing inspired efforts to stifle open dialogue about competing ideologies and demonize the objects of its witch hunt and modern day far left wing efforts to do the same with subjects of its opposition. Both may have had a kernel of legitimate concern which was lost in their respective extremism. It all shows that extremism in any of its forms is not a good idea. That's an interesting statement. Extremism in any of its forms is not a good idea. Well, Tim, I am with you, but only part way. Yes, certainly, sometimes a kernel of truth can become inappropriately extreme. And yes, that can be bad. But to say that extremism in all of its forms is not a good idea, ironically enough, that statement itself is quite extreme, but let's back up. Extreme is a neutral word. Moderation is also a neutral word. Each can be good or bad depending on the situation. Each can be appropriate or inappropriate depending on the situation. If we're talking, for example, about drinking in moderation as opposed to getting drunk, well, then moderation is a good thing. On the other hand, when I speak out against racism, that is an extreme position on my part. And I think this is an easy subject that most would agree with. I am extremely against racism. You're a person of high conscience, Tim. We've talked before, so I know you are too. There is no moderation. There's no room for moderation. I am extremely against the Jim Crow laws of the past. I am extremely against the segregation of the past. And there are those that are trying to promote segregation today. I'm extremely against that. Had you lived in the pre-Civil War days, Tim, I believe you would have been extremely against slavery. I do not believe you would have said, there needs to be a middle position here. Maybe there are certain kinds of slave situations that we can accept. And so I do not resist a word such as extreme. Every subject in its own right needs to be examined pound for pound and inch for inch to see what is warranted, a moderate practice or an extreme practice. Maybe on some matters, we should be extreme. Now, Tim also comments more broadly about last week's show, which included a discussion I had with co-host Jim Barrier about the sexual accusations leveled against Judge Roy Moore and others. The accusations against Senator Al Franken had not yet hit the news when we did our show last week. Tim says, after listening to the program, he says, I will have to call in after listening to this one. I can save my detailed comments if you prefer, but as someone who is neither on the left nor the right, I found the hypocrisy analysis of the left unfairly focusing on the left's excusal of Bill Clinton's treatment of women in light of zero acknowledgement of Trump's, which are at least as bad and at least as substantiated. And why isn't the sitting president's sexual assaults more relevant to our lives today? Only through the cognitive dissonance of partisan politics can we justify this. Perhaps you ran out of time, and as an independent, you will get to the right's hypocrisy of not calling out Trump on your next show. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and do my best to call in on Sunday. Well, thank you, Tim, for giving me the benefit of the doubt. In exchange, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that this is not some admonition of what you feel I am obligated to talk about on my radio show. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you are not insisting on exactly what points I am to make on this week's program if I did not make them to your satisfaction on last week's program. Tim, you are always welcome to call in or write in if you disagree with my positions. I have enjoyed many such dialogues with you in the past. While we've seldom agreed, we have at least spoken to each other with mutual respect. Having said that, challenging my objectivity with phrases such as cognitive dissonance of partisan politics is quite another matter. That isn't about testing fact or opinion. That goes to my character. That goes to my integrity. But again, I will give you the benefit of the doubt. And I'm saying that sincerely because perhaps you did not intend your comment to come across that way. Perhaps you were referring to the partisan politics of others whom you merely wanted to see me challenge. I want to be fair to you, especially since you claim you are being fair to me. So let's review, since obviously there are people listening right now that may not have heard last week's show. I want to give this a little bit of context. Of course, the best context, ladies and gentlemen, is that that show is posted to my website, bobsiegel.net. You can hear it for yourself. But I'm going to review a little bit and give some context so that Tim's comment and then my response to his comment will make more sense. And I am going to start by saying that I was very objective and very even-handed with both sides last week. Now, I don't make any bones about the fact that I'm a Christian or a conservative. I don't make any attempt to hide that. This is an opinion show. This is not a straight news show. It's a news analysis opinion show and a religious show, all in one. But last week, I was objective. I was very, very even-handed with both sides. Now, I did have my doubts about the timing of the claims against Roy Moore. But I also said quite clearly to my friend Jim over the air that Judge Moore's responses to Sean Hannity's interview were unconvincing, that he came across as if he was giving very careful answers to cover himself. I acknowledged that as a conservative, I wanted to believe Moore. I also said that my conservatism was not reason enough to automatically believe him, any more than somebody's liberalism is a reason to automatically doubt him. I emphasized very strongly that all of us must admit those times when we simply don't know. On the broader subject of sexual allegations, I mentioned right from the start that as a pastor, I have listened to many women from my parish recount abuses from their past. And in these cases, I believed the women who spoke to me, each and every one of them. I said it on the top of the program. I said it again halfway through the program. My co-host Jim Barrier said the same thing. Both of us acknowledged the understandable reasons why a woman may be too frightened to come forth right away. However, to be fair, I also pointed out that when pundits and politicians on one hand claim a man is innocent until proven guilty, but on the other hand say we should automatically assume that a woman will never lie while accusing a man, well, this is a contradiction. Two opposite assumptions which cannot possibly reconcile. In the case of conservative Judge Moore, there was no partisan defense from me last week. But Tim, apparently that wasn't enough for you, if I'm reading your comment correctly. Somehow in your mind, I was also expected to talk about Trump, especially since I made a comment about the left's inconsistency regarding Bill Clinton. And rather than being satisfied with my consistency between Clinton and Moore, you wanted to see some consistency between Clinton and Trump. Okay, now make no mistake, Tim, I feel zero obligation to explain why I talk about one person but not another on any of my radio shows. However, I am going to honor your request anyway, out of respect for you, out of respect for the many friendly conversations we've had. Here I go. And I'm afraid you're going to find it rather anticlimactic. The reason that President Trump was not mentioned is that President Trump was not on my mind. When I bring on a co-host, I respond to things that he says. Had Jim brought him up, I would have said something. The reason Trump didn't come to mind is that, quite frankly, we were not discussing Trump. It's just that simple. Sometimes, strange as it may seem, there are other subjects. There are other public figures. I know our media has a hard time grasping this because he's just eaten away the media. But I am not of the belief that Donald Trump needs to be the default setting of every single discussion. However, since you brought him up, many people on the right have called out Trump again and again. In fact, the Never Trumpers is a movement that began in the Republican primaries. And it's continued today by numerous Republican politicians and a whole lot of staff people at conservative publications such as National Review. They have trouble with his sexual allegations. They have trouble with just about everything he does, sexual or otherwise. So some conservatives, many, many conservatives, even to this day, don't support Trump at all. As for those who do support him, on previous programs, I have broken down Trump voters into two camps, Trump groupies and Trump realists. I identified myself in the second category. I am not a Trump groupie. I am a Trump realist. I have often called out the Trump groupies who defend the man no matter what he says or does. I have also called out the Never Trumpers who refuse to give him credit no matter what he does. For myself and my own views, I have clarified my stance on Trump with enormous detail. It's been a big elephant in the room the last couple of years because he's been just flooding the news. I've talked about him in my column, on my radio show. I have called him out many, many times. I called him out during the primaries. I called him out during the general election. I have called him out during his first year as president. I did vote for him, but I publicly announced that I viewed him as a gamble and the lesser of two evils, and that that was the reason I voted for him. Since he came into office, he's grown on me. Yes, he has. And I've been very honest about that on the air. I like him a lot better now than I did in the past. I have given him credit for keeping, or at least trying to keep, many of his promises. I have also continued to criticize him for backpedaling on a few promises. And I'm probably making a whole lot of Trump fans angry who are listening to me right now, just as I'm making others angry that I voted for Trump at all. Now, about Bill Clinton. As you know, Tim, much has happened in the news this past week. Many former Clinton defenders are retroactively admitting that his accusers of the past should be believed. Not much of that had been in the news last week at this time. And many of these same people in news organizations, as recently as last year's general election of 2016, were continuing to defend not only Bill, but Hillary and the way she pillaged the reputations of President Clinton's many female accusers. For myself, with the exception of certain affairs Clinton has actually confessed to, such as Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky, I do not claim to be a mind reader. All I was doing last week was calling people to consistency. Many of the same people who insisted that women who claimed to be victims should always be believed chose not to believe the women who accused Clinton. I was not saying Clinton accusers should be automatically believed either. I was saying you can't have it both ways. As for Trump, same thing. Now, he admitted to the locker room talk caught on mic. He apologized. While he was on the mic, he was talking about some physical things he did with women, but he was claiming that they were women who allowed him to do it because that goes on in show business. That still sounded sleazy. But the accusations of rape or sexual harassment or doing anything against someone's will, those he has denied. Could he be lying? Of course he could be lying. Could his accusers be lying? Of course his accusers could be lying. Do I have opinions and impressions about who's lying and who's telling the truth? Naturally, we all get opinions and impressions. But I am still, at the end of the day, willing to say that I don't know. I do not automatically believe politicians. I do not automatically doubt them. I do not automatically believe an accuser. I do not automatically doubt them. For the sake of ethics, for the sake of consistency, for the sake of accuracy, I am quite content to say I do not know. In any event, I am more concerned about a person's conduct after they come into office. There would be exceptions. If somebody actually did rape somebody, then naturally they should pay for that, no matter how long ago it was. After they come into office, there's such a thing as high crimes and misdemeanors. But in general, if we're talking about character or immoral indiscretions, perhaps legal but nevertheless immoral, I, as a Christian, will always keep in mind that I am not electing Jesus Christ into office. I am electing a flawed, sinful human being. This was how I commented about Trump when the whole tape incident came out in the news. Undoubtedly, with the present climate, this will become front and center in the news again. It will. And since news is at least part of what this program is about, I will probably have no choice but to comment on it again in the future. But that was not the news last week at this time. And I'm not concerned that I didn't relitigate it last week. I felt no need to revisit it just now either, but I did so, Tim, out of respect for the productive dialogues we have had in the past, a respect that I hope and trust is mutual. I'll be back with even more discernment between opinion and actual fact when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book, is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh, as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I will not be with you next week. I'm going to be out of town, but of course the Bob Siegel Show always airs even when I'm not here live. And since it is close to the beginning of the Christmas season, next weekend being Thanksgiving weekend, which kind of commences it, I always tell you I play my bumper music even earlier than that, as I've done the last couple of weeks. But Thanksgiving's kind of the beginning of the Christmas season, and that's around the time when people usually start watching the holiday movies. Miracle on 34th Street, one of the best of them. The beginning of the story actually is on Thanksgiving Day, and then it takes you all the way to Christmas Eve and then Christmas morning. That is one of my favorites, the original version, not some of those horrible remakes that they made. However, I go through my top 10 list of favorite holiday movies, and then I even mention some movies that I can't stand. One of them, a lot of people agree with me about, that movie version of The Grinch with Jim Carrey, which just pummeled it, a holiday classic. Dr. Seuss, I believe, has to be turning in his grave over that. But then there's another one that people just love, which is Elf. And I did not like Elf, except for the first few minutes of the movie when Bob Newhart was in it. It went steadily downhill from there. But anyway, I've been playing this for a few years now, every year. It's become one of our holiday traditions. So tune in next week for my favorite and least favorite holiday movies. Now, since we're a program about politics and religion, let's switch back now to religion on this subject that the Bible talks so much about, sin. Some people believe erroneously, and it's not just people that have a false impression of Christianity. There are Christians who believe erroneously that once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you bought this fire insurance policy. Now you're not going to go to hell, so you can just live any way you want and you can continue sinning. And since Jesus died for all of your sins, past, present, and future, you don't really have to sweat it. And they'll say things like, well, now, if you really want to please God and go that extra mile with him, yes, make Jesus the Lord of your life too. Submit to him. But we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith, putting our faith in Jesus. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does say that we're saved by faith and not by works, but we have to define what those terms mean. We have to get back into the language, which was Greek. We have to get back into the time, which was the early part of the first century. And when the Apostle Paul and when Jesus said that we're not saved by works, it meant we are not saved by earning merit with God. In other words, God is not going to shake my hand on judgment and go, oh, Bob Siegel, we've wanted a man like you for a long time. No, I am a sinner. The Bible defines sin as selfishness. I've made a distinction before, but I want to make it again. It doesn't mean positive self-esteem. It doesn't mean that God wants you to grovel and feel like you're scum of the earth. He wants you to love who you are. He created you. He created you in his image. Doesn't mean that God looks like a man, but it means that we're in his spiritual image. So he created you that way, and God wants you to understand that your selfishness, the kind of selfishness that he is concerned about, is the selfishness where you're constantly putting yourself before others, not feeling good about an accomplishment. So when the Bible says we're not saved by works, it means we're not saved by earning merit with God. Now, when the Bible says we're saved by faith, It doesn't mean that a person says, gee, I have no idea whether God exists. I have no idea whether Jesus exists, but I'll just go ahead and pretend he exists anyway. The Bible said God can make himself known. You can have a relationship with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe in Jesus by faith, not the way people define it today. Faith in New Testament Greek referred to, well, a word in Greek could mean many things at the same time. It would depend on the context. And in context, putting your faith in God, putting your faith in Christ, meant a decision to obey God. You're trusting him with your life. It didn't mean that somebody said, I have no idea if God is real. The Bible made it very clear that Jesus' resurrection from the dead was an historical fact. There had been eyewitnesses. Those that didn't witness it as an eyewitness could determine, because they were still so close to the time that it had actually happened. But even more significant than that, the Spirit of God could come and have a relationship with you. On a Tuesday afternoon in my second year of college, I told two women I was going to school with, I'd rather go to hell than become a Christian, if hell even existed. I said this as a liberal, atheistic Jewish person who didn't believe really in the Jewish religion or Christianity. To the Jews, Judaism views itself as both a culture and a religion. I was a cultural Jew. I was an atheist in terms of my beliefs. Actually, I was an atheist up till my last year in high school. I had become an agnostic by the time I was in college, but certainly not anybody who thought Christianity was true. I said that on a Monday. On a Tuesday, I became a Christian because I had an encounter with the Spirit of Christ. Nothing short of that would have convinced me. So when the Bible says that we're saved by faith, it means by making a decision to obey God. But saying that we obey him doesn't mean we're saying we're saved by works or earning merit. We're letting the Spirit of God come into our lives, and the Spirit of God is going to work with us the rest of our lives. We haven't suddenly become perfect, but it's permission for God to come into our lives and raise us as a father would raise a son or a daughter. And a person that hasn't given God that permission to work in their lives is fooling themselves. They have not received a license to go on sinning when they become a Christian. Anyway, if you'd like to weigh in by calling us, 1-888-344-1170. And Tim, whose comments I was reading right before the break, is on the air with us, probably anxious to respond to my response. But whatever he has to say, it's always good to have Tim. Tim, welcome to our program.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Bob.
Well, it's always fun talking with you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks
you got
again.
Your Thanksgiving plans all ironed out with you going to be out of town or here with your family or what?
Taking the family to visit with the extended family up in Orange County. So looking forward to it.
Okay. All the way up to Orange County. Thought you were going to say up to Yosemite or something like that.
No.
I have extended family in Orange County myself. So what should I say about it? Anyway, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay. More clear with my comments, because there's only so much you can write down in any limited search.
Oh, I understand that. And I acknowledge that I was just saying, well, if you meant this, so yeah, go ahead. Speak for yourself.
Okay. So on Facebook, you had teased your broadcast last week as morality, consistent and inconsistent responses. And it was fairly particular in the context, in the course of the broadcast.
Right. And it wasn't just politics either. We also went on and started talking about how consistent is somebody when they say there is no God and yet there's such a thing as right and wrong. So there were a lot of directions we went with that last week.
That's right. That's right. And I'll save it for another time about your thoughts about having objective morality and the necessity of God. That's not why I called.
Yeah, well, we've actually talked about that one on the air before. It was a few years, but
right.
Okay.
So when you brought up consistency, you specifically brought up the inconsistency of people on the left back in the 90s who were not calling out then President Bill Clinton for his indiscretion with Monica Lewinsky. I'm not sure he ever admitted Jennifer Flowers. I could be wrong on
that.
Yeah,
he did. During the campaign, it came up, and at first they denied it, and then they admitted it. And then one I didn't mention, Paula Jones, he settled with her. He settled that law. And I understand sometimes a person can have a reason for settling that they don't want it to drag on. But still, some people would interpret settling it as, perhaps an admission of guilt. But my point, Tim, was not whether or not those women should be believed. The only thing I was calling into consistency is when somebody says a woman should always be believed. For example, Patricia Ireland of Now, back then, had said that a woman should always be believed when she comes forward, and yet she wouldn't believe the Clinton ones. So hypothetically, supposing every woman that came forward about Clinton was lying, that wasn't even my point. The point is people are saying a woman will never lie about that. She should always be believed. And yet they were giving Clinton a pass. Whether those women were lying or telling the truth, I think, is irrelevant to the consistency I was calling for.
Saying that some people asserted that you should believe women no matter what, and applying that to the whole is not something that I think is either logical or is warranted in the circumstances.
That's not what I did. I didn't say that every single defender of Clinton did that. I was talking very specifically about the people who, on one hand, said we should always believe a woman, but on the other hand, weren't believing these women. I would never make the case that every Clinton supporter said this or that. I think you know me better than that. I would never make that kind of a generalization. And I didn't do that last week.
That is a vast minority of people that are saying that. And you're right. It doesn't represent the whole of any group.
Well, they were pretty. Sometimes people can be in the minority and still be pretty loud. There have been an awful lot of them that I've heard over the years. Are they the minority compared to the amount of people that voted for Clinton? Yeah, probably. All I'm saying, Tim, is those were the people that I was calling out. If it had been only one person, that's what I was calling out. And I was hearing it even on the discussions with Judge Roy Moore before we even got into Clinton. There was a woman that came on the Sean Hannity show, and in the same breath, she says, no, a man is innocent until proven guilty, almost as if it was an obligatory thing to say. And then she says, but Sean, we must always believe women when they bring this up. We must never believe that these women are lying. And women will not lie. Tim, you're an attorney, aren't you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've spent a good portion of my career as a lawyer fighting for women who've been hurt by men.
Okay. And I've mentioned that a good deal of my career as a pastor, I've had women come to me for counseling, dealing for abuses from the past. So both of us are people who know that women oftentimes are not lying. But when somebody makes the blanket statement that a woman will never lie, that's just ridiculous. And I'm sure that as an attorney and a free thinker and a logical thinker, you would not accept a statement like that.
I think within the context of violence against women, and this is something where I have quite a bit of experience in, when someone says you need to believe the woman and saying women never lie are two completely different statements. You have to understand that within our culture, the idea of believing women when they said they've been harmed physically or sexually and so forth, they've been discounted and set aside until fairly recently in our United States culture and certainly in human culture. And so when people say you need to believe them means you need to take it seriously and assume they're telling the truth for purposes of investigating further and looking further into it. You never see people say women never lie. No one ever said that.
As a matter of fact, people have said it. I have heard people say it. I've heard them say it that way. Now, you can tell me that this is what they really mean, but I'm going what they actually say. Of course we take it seriously. I don't think you and I are really in disagreement on this, Tim. If somebody claims they've been raped or claims any sexual thing happened to them, if somebody accuses anybody of anything, we take it seriously enough to investigate. We don't automatically say, I have heard people say a woman will never lie about something like this. But the problem is there have been women in some situations who've come forth later and admitted that they have lied. And there's been other cases where, such as the Duke LaCrosse, where the woman didn't admit that she lied. But when they went back and they investigated the initial police reports that the prosecutors weren't willing to look at, they found that her case just didn't hold up. So all I was doing last week was showing both sides of the story.
You're right. You're right that there are plenty of examples of women who have not told the truth and have wrecked lives, frankly. We can't decide just talking amongst ourselves who's telling the truth and who isn't. As a practical matter, though, I think we can both agree that says she was sexually assaulted. In this day and age, even in the current climate of right now, odds are women aren't motivated by something that's going to make them lie to do that. You know what I mean? It's I'm not saying you should take their word for it and you should just hang the guy who's being accused of it. There's a due process that's involved. I am all for that. And I've defended men who have been accused of things. So I know both sides of this. But what I'm saying is you need to take the allegations seriously, which is why when you were pointing out the inconsistency of the left talking about why they hadn't handled Clinton, it seemed to me that it was ripe at that moment to say, and so because we're pointing out that inconsistency is not a virtue, then to be consistent, and we look at the actual allegations of what people have made against our leaders, elected leaders, and Bill Clinton was president at the time, our current president has 16 formal allegations of sexual misconduct against him. Some of them are rapes, including a lawsuit about being raped, raping a 13-year-old. That was they dropped it because they said they were being threatened, and they just couldn't do it anymore, and it wasn't worth it. Now, all 16 women may be completely out to lunch. 100% of them may be lying.
Okay, but as I said, that really wasn't even on my mind. We were talking about Roy Moore. Our radio show goes by really fast. And I know that these days Trump dominates the news. I've taken pains to not let him dominate on this program. There have been times I haven't even done the news. A few months ago, back when Nick was here as our board op, I even did a joke with him because the news is always Trump. It's almost like I'm going to turn on the news. I'm going to turn on the Trump. I came in. I said, Nick, let me do a mic check. And instead of saying testing 1, 2, 3, I went Trump, Trump, Trump. That's how ridiculous it gets. And honestly, I was not even thinking of Trump last week. Certainly since then, there's been a lot of things you're hearing now in the news of, hey, Trump said this and that about Al Franken. What about his own past? That's going to come up more. And as I also said, as you heard in my response, so I'll talk about it more. I wasn't thinking about it last week. And that's why I didn't mention him. It was not on. Now, maybe you don't believe. Maybe you don't believe me. Do I have the presumption of innocence right now, Tim? Do you believe? No, do you take me at my word?
I'm gonna take you at your word. I'm just saying, when you're going to talk about the word consistency, and you're going to point out people that are being inconsistent in their behavior, and you're in the frame of consistency, then consistency demands that you also say, "Hey, the right has essentially played lip service to Trump's allegations."
Yeah, except that I have, once again, I have called out Trump supporters time and time again on the show. I feel I've been very consistent and very objective where Trump is concerned. And if he didn't come up last week, it's because last week we were talking about Judge Roy Moore. And I did compare him to the Clintons, and then we went on and we started talking about other things. Tim, hang with me over the break. I know you probably have more to say on this. I don't want to brush you off. We'll be right back.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredvalduti.com. That's Fred, F ALDUTI.com.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with Tim on the line. Tim, welcome back to our program.
Good to be here.
Yeah, for a moment there, I thought we dropped you, but welcome back. So other than the fact that you'd wished I'd brought up Donald Trump last week, are you seeing anything right now that we're in disagreement about? Because it sounds like you feel like we're in disagreement. I'm not seeing the disagreement, or it's almost like having an argument about whether we agree or disagree.
No, I think we sound like we agree. It's just, I guess what I'm saying is, if you're going to comment on consistency and inconsistency in response to this issue, and you brought that up, then you're under no obligation to talk about anything you don't want to talk about. It's your show. You can do whatever you want. But when you bring up the word consistency, I think it screams out in its own respect that you have to be, in order to be consistent, is to say, you know what, and this is my personal feeling, I'm not saying you should have said this, but my personal feeling is the left is completely inconsistent, has been completely inconsistent in its approach to this issue countless times, and so has the right. And I don't see one side being worse or better than the other, to be honest with you. I think it's still partisan politics. And when I refer to cognitive dissonance, I meant the politics seems to still drive how people approach this. And we'll see how it ends up panning out as the weeks, months, and years progress. But people seem to turn a blind eye on their own guy and go after the other guy.
Right. And that's again, I was here with a co-host, and we eventually moved on, and we also wanted to talk about morality. What's the source of morality? What the Bible says about morality. And so again, whether or not Trump was on Jim's mind, we'll have to ask him. It wasn't even on my mind, Donald Trump, last week. When you wrote your comment, I said, oh yeah, that I could just as easily have had that same discussion, that exact same discussion. And instead of using the word Judge Moore, I could have used the word Donald Trump and compared them. I could have. I can only say that I've done it in the past many, many times. So I don't know how many of my shows where I've talked about Trump in these last couple of years you've heard, but I have certainly not let anybody off the hook regarding Donald Trump. I probably, from listening to you, I'm guessing I probably like him better than you, but even that is in the present. As a candidate, I couldn't stand him. My top candidate in the Republican primary was Ben Carson. Regarding politicians, I'm pretty cynical about them. It sounds like you are too. I feel such contempt for both parties right now, but I want to explain what I mean by that. When we're comparing conservative beliefs with liberal beliefs, I believe the conservative beliefs are the consistent ones. If you want to talk about conservative politicians and liberal politicians or Republican politicians, Democrat, I agree when these scandal cases come up, depending on what side it came up on, you could almost write the talking points of each. And there is a lot of inconsistency, a lot of disingenuousness on both sides. I totally agree with you there. My biggest problem with the Republicans is they don't keep their campaign promises. My biggest problem with the Democrats is they do keep their campaign promises for the most part, but they make hideous promises. So that's a little bit of my political 101 right there.
I think, and I'm about to sign off here, but I think what's going to happen is I think some lists are going to come out about lots of people on the Hill, and lots of allegations are going to come up, and
it's going to be very two-sided too, both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely, there is.
Well, did you hear that they've come up with the fact that there's been this slush fund where they've been actually using hush money to settle lawsuits, and it's coming from our tax dollars. And I would think that anybody out there, be you a Republican, be you a Democrat, be you an independent such as myself, I would think all of you would be absolutely outraged by that.
$15 million in like the last 10 years or something, or 15 years. Yeah.
Tim, this is an event for, I think you and I are finally finding something we can agree about. Although I think we had a Star Trek discussion on Facebook once and we agreed on Star Trek, but, or what's that, Star Wars? I think that might've been Star Wars, but.
I guess what I'm saying is let's just be clear about following the evidence where it leads, regardless of whether the person being accused supports the people we want to be, you know, judges and Supreme Court justices and vote for the legislation we want. Let's just be honest and clear about the evidence and follow it no matter what the politics of.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I believe that aside from the fact that Trump didn't come up, you heard me say that really clear. I started out last show, at least very early on. I said, look, as a conservative, I know that sometimes I want to believe someone like Roy Moore. That doesn't mean that the guy is innocent. And then I said it, and it works the other way. Now, when you talk about odds, though, the only caveat I would add up is we talk about, well, what are the odds that a woman would make this kind of thing up? Well, we can debate the odds, but I think it's just as fair of a question to say if somebody's a high-profile figure who's controversial, what are the odds that we're going to have an October surprise and things are going to come out about him at that time? And I do agree, you can have the term hit piece, and whether or not the hit piece is true is not antithetical. I think this was obviously a Washington Post carefully timed hit piece. That doesn't mean that they didn't have true allegations. It may just mean that they sat on it. But when we talk about when you mentioned, well, with Trump, it's 16 women and with so-and-so, it's this amount of women. The amount of women, I guess, would not be as meaningful to me as the manner in which they came forth. If I heard of 16 women or 16 people on any accusation that came forth independently without hearing of the others, and it wasn't a high profile person, I think that would carry a little more weight with me as a juror. I would love to see independent corroboration, but there are these days, you know, people know they could get a book deal and they could get a movie deal. And I would never venture to say what percentage of people would lie as opposed to what percentage of people would tell the truth. And I think sometimes the truth is somewhere in between. As I listened to Judge Roy Moore, and it's not up to me, I got the impression that probably some of those allegations were not true. Probably some of them were. It's very possible that he didn't do anything with a minor, or at least didn't know she was a minor, and he was so angry about that. But he did seem to be brushing off the others. So I'm just saying the odds you can look at the odds the other way, too.
Just remember, in the Roy Moore thing, you got at least, four different people who don't know each other, independently corroborated, and they didn't want to come forward.
Well,
and these are people that didn't want the attention. They didn't want any of it.
And they were sought out by the Washington Post. But again,
right.
I'm not claiming Roy Moore is innocent. Like I said, when I saw him on the Sean Hannity show, I really had my doubts, and I was very clear about it. Tim, my friend, it's always great talking to you.
Take care.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.